Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Here on Stolen Lives, we discuss brutal and heartbreaking crimes against children. Themes may include child murder, torture, and sexual, domestic, and child abuse. I do try my best to remain respectful for the babies in these stories and leave out unnecessary details that honestly, none of us need to know to understand the frustration of why and how this ever happened. However, if you find any of these themes triggering, this podcast may not be for you. Listener discretion is advised. January 2020, Howard, Wisconsin. Two young children show up at a neighbour's house saying they didn't know where their mother was, that she'd been gone since the night before. By the time police arrived, the mother had returned, but the closure to one mystery opened a much larger one. Where was this woman's third child? No one could report seeing her 5-year-old special needs son for almost 6 months. And then investigators would find a horrifying discovery in the woman's vehicle. This is Josias's story. Josias Marquez was born October 18, 2014, in San Jose, California, to parents Sigal Hussein and James Marquez. Hussein and James had been together for about 2 years by the time Josias was born, the couple meeting through mutual friends. They basically began dating right away, and then a year later, Hussein was pregnant. Not long after this, James was sentenced to a term in jail for a misdemeanor and wasn't able to be present for the baby's birth. He was released shortly after, before being arrested and imprisoned again during Hussein's second pregnancy. He would be released, however, to be present for the birth of their second child, a boy they would name Josias. During their second pregnancy, Hussein left California with her eldest child and moved to Wisconsin to be with her mother and sister. And I completely understand that. Hussein was a young mother, her partner was in jail, and here she is pregnant again with no family nearby for support. I completely understand packing up and moving back with the family. Now, about 2.5 weeks after Josias was born, he contracted bacterial meningitis and had to spend a few weeks in the hospital. While he survived, the illness left Josias blind and severely disabled. Part of his brain had been damaged. It wasn't long before Josias started suffering from severe seizures, and he was diagnosed with epilepsy. Because of this, this little boy had to be heavily sedated most of the time. If that wasn't enough for Josias to battle, he would also be diagnosed with cerebral palsy. Josias would be non-verbal, and he wasn't able to walk or crawl. He had to be transported around everywhere in a stroller, or when he got a little bigger, a wheelchair. He had to be fed with a bottle. When Josias was about 1 month old, his father James had moved to Wisconsin to join Hussein and the children. According to James, while he lived there, he took care of the children most of the time. He was the one who made sure Josias had his medication, took him to his many specialist appointments, and he fed him. James would later claim Hussein was extremely lazy and didn't like to do much at all. It was all too much for James to take, and by January 2019, he decided he couldn't live his life like this anymore, and he moved back to California, leaving Hussein and the children behind. And by this time, the couple had had a third child, a little girl. Now, I have my issues with this. James knowing that he was solely the only person doing what needed to be done for Josias. This sweet little boy was 100% reliant on his father, and James must have known that leaving was basically a death sentence for his son. I mean, maybe he thought when given no other option, his son would step up and do what needed to be done. But what history shows with any neglectful parent, maybe this happens in the short term, but old habits return, and there was no way she was going to put in the hard work necessary to keep Josias healthy. So in my mind, James is also a neglectful parent leaving his children behind, especially Josias, who could not do anything to sustain his life without a loving parent. This was incredibly neglectful and irresponsible on James's part, but I digress. Now, after James returned to California, he would call Hussein, and he wanted contact with the children, but Hussein refused. But eventually, Hussein realized she was in over her head, and she sent Josiah's older brother and baby sister to live with James for a time. Now, James obviously asked about Josias as well, but Hussein always had some sort of excuse why he wasn't able to even visit with his father. Now, I imagine travel would have been difficult for Josias, so I understand this to a point, but it wasn't impossible. And I imagine if Josias was being taken care of and in any reasonably healthy condition, Hussein would have jumped at the chance of being child-free, even if it was only temporary. So that sends up red flags for me right there. Life with their father wouldn't last for Josias's siblings. And in November 2019, James would again be arrested, and the children were sent back to Wisconsin to live with their mother. We are just going to take a quick break now for a word from one of our sponsors.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
January 26, 2020. One of Hussein's neighbors called police to inform them there were two children unsupervised outside an apartment located on the 2700 block of Riverview Drive in Howard, Wisconsin. It was Josiah's 6-year-old brother and 3-year-old sister, and they'd shown up at this woman's apartment partially clothed. The children told her that they didn't know where their mother was and they hadn't seen her since the previous night. The neighbour would later report to police. She noticed that Hussein's car had been missing since 11 o'clock the night prior. But before police could arrive at the apartment complex where they lived, Hussein had returned home. She would tell police she had gone to Walgreens and had only left her children for no longer than 10 minutes. But officers knew this was very unlikely, because this wasn't the first time Hussein would be accused of leaving her very young children unattended. December 2019. Hussein's oldest son was reported being left alone for more than half an hour. Hussein's claims of going to the Walgreens was also proven to be a lie. CPS was brought in, and the two children were removed from Hussein's care. They were temporarily placed in the custody of Hussein's mother. It was then realised Hussein had a third child, 5-year-old Josias Marquez, but no one knew where he was. 2 days later, January 28, 2020, Sigal Hussein was interviewed by both law enforcement and a child safety officer. She told them that Josias was safe, healthy and living with his father, a man named Miguel Marcello, who lived in Michigan, that she'd known Miguel her entire life, and they had had an on-again, off-again relationship since they were teenagers, but that he'd never really been a part of Josias's life. but that McGill had randomly showed up at her door 3 weeks earlier, on January 9th, 2020, and he had taken their son. That McGill had taken all of Josias's belongings with him, including every photo she had of the little boy. And like we have heard far too many times, Hussein told investigators she had no contact information for McGill, because every time they had spoken on the phone, he had called her from a blocked number. Now, obviously, investigators did not believe this ridiculous story for a moment. And there was genuine concern for Josias's safety, increasingly so, given his high medical needs. There was some urgency there to account for his whereabouts as quickly as possible. Throughout February and March 2020, CPS repeatedly contacted Hussein in an attempt to make some sort of contact with Josias. March 25th, 2020, an investigator and a CPS worker even went out to Hussein's home to try and reason with her, but she would deny them any further information than the breadcrumbs she had already shared. In the background, investigators were digging into Hussein's background, who else she had contact with, trying to determine who else might know where the little boy was. March 27, 2020. Police obtained a copy of Josias's birth certificate that didn't list a McGill from Michigan as Josias's father, but in fact James Marquez, who lived in California. Not only that, but McGill Marcello didn't even exist. Investigators then moved on to interviewing those who knew Hussein, including her family and friends, and no one could report seeing Josiah since November 25, 2019, 5 months earlier. March 30, 2020, Sigal Hussein was arrested on suspicion of child neglect, as she was still refusing to cooperate with authorities. Her two remaining children were removed from the family completely and placed into foster care. Hussein's bond was set at $500,000. The very next day, police obtained a warrant to search Hussein's home and vehicle. Investigators discovered a duffel bag inside the trunk of her vehicle. Inside was the body of a small, severely malnourished and emaciated boy. His body was partially decomposed and mummified. Sigal Hussein then had her charges upgraded to chronic neglect of a child resulting in death, hiding the corpse of a child, 5 counts of obstructing an officer, and 2 counts of child neglect. The more serious offence, child neglect resulting in death, potentially carrying a maximum sentence of 25 years imprisonment. Hussein's mother Ismail spoke publicly, quote, "What I know as my daughter Sigal is that she was a loving mother and did not kill her own son. And what I believe is that it was not her intention to hurt or kill her own child." Unquote. Ismail would go on to say that Josias's father James was not the caring father he was portraying himself to be. Quote, "He left those kids with Sigal. He was in California. He wasn't a caring dad and wasn't doing his part as a dad. But the truth is Josias was being neglected by his mother for a long time." Unquote. Completely contradicting herself that her daughter was his loving mother and not capable of hurting Josias. It actually really frustrates me that here is Ismail also admitting to knowing Josias was being neglected and not receiving the medical care he needed to survive. Yet she did nothing to protect her vulnerable grandson. She never reported these concerns to authorities or CPS. Josias had epilepsy, and those with this condition need to regularly take anti-seizure medication to make sure these seizures are under control, because they can be life-threatening, especially for someone like Josias, who had other medical conditions. Epilepsy is easily controlled if you're taking medications and having regular doctor's appointments. People with epilepsy can live normal lives, as long as they're doing what needs to be done to minimalise the symptoms. However, for Josias, Hussein wasn't giving him his medication, stopping administrating it to him as early as 2018. Instead, giving him CBD oil because, quote, "she saw it on the internet," unquote. April 15th, 2020. The medical examiner confirmed the remains in Hussein's vehicle belonged to 5-year-old Josias Marquez. And Josias's autopsy is a horrifying read. The medical examiner stating Josias weighed only 20 pounds or 9 kilograms when he was found. when previously, during an October 2018 doctor's appointment, he weighed more than 30 pounds or 13.5 kilograms. And even then, the doctor wrote in his notes the boy looked underweight. According to Josias's doctor, the boy missed 13 appointments with him and at least 10 more with other providers. And according to one of Josias's daycare teachers, he was always very skinny and his mother did not provide him with a stroller that could properly support him. Whenever Josias missed daycare, it was in spurts, and Hussein would never provide an explanation why he wasn't there. One of Josias's teachers said that Hussein provided her son with minimal nutrition. Each of his meals only consisted of a bottle of Pediachor and an applesauce pouch. And Pediachor is like a high-calorie vitamin milk. And this wasn't always. Sometimes he had nothing. There were times Hussein would drop Josias off at daycare with nothing at all. No stroller and no food. The daycare provider doing their part as mandatory reporters, and they contacted CPS a number of times to voice their concerns over Josias's well-being. A family advocate for the school district Josias attended said she conducted 2 home visits with the family in 2018, but that she never met with Josias. The advocate said that she had filed a report with CPS because she was concerned the boy was being neglected. According to school officials, they'd not seen Josiah since winter break in December 2018. As part of their investigation into working out what happened to Josiah, police officers tapped Hussein's phone. March 26, 2020, shortly before Hussein's arrest, and as the investigators were closing in on her lies, police recorded a phone call between Hussein and Josiah's father, James. During this conversation, Hussein told James that she had fucked up and was in a hell of a lot of trouble. Strangely, she also told him he was Josias' father. Even though James already knew that, he was on Josias' birth certificate. But that wasn't all the odd things Hussein was saying, all of which led James to believe that she wasn't admitting to everything she had done to their son. James would say in his interviews with police that he always believed Hussein was embarrassed of their son's disabilities, that she treated their other 2 children much better than she ever did Josias. And according to one of Hussein's friends, the mother had hundreds of photos on her social media of her other 2 children, but there was none of Josias, which is absolutely heartbreaking to me. Just one look at any of the few photos available out there of Josias would show him to be the dearest little boy, incredibly adorable and sweet. How anyone could not love him is beyond my understanding. October 21st, 2021, 26-year-old Sigal Hussein entered a plea deal, entering a plea of no contest to charges including child neglect resulting in death, hiding a child's corpse and neglect. Whereas Hussein originally faced 9 charges, prosecutors agreed to drop 5 other charges under the plea deal in exchange for the guilty plea. Sentencing took place December 7, 2021, at Brown County Circuit Court, in front of presiding judge, Judge Thomas Walsh. The prosecution argued that Hussein's actions weren't of a mother who loved her son, that it was clear she was underfeeding Josias, and then discontinuing the medication meant to control his seizures in favour of CBD oil. And then also escalating was Hussein's drinking and drug use in the year before Josias died. So while the other children could somewhat fend for themselves to a point, Josias was completely reliant on his mother. James said in his victim impact statement that he struggled knowing what to tell his other children why Josias never came home from his mother's. Quote, "I've got no type of answers. I don't even know what day he died. My kid's gonna grow older and ask questions." Unquote. Sigal Hussein broke down while speaking prior to sentencing, that she had panicked going into Josias's room and discovering him cold to the touch, likely passing away after suffering from a seizure. Quote, "As a parent, watching your child suffer is one of the greatest pains you can feel. This is something I'll have to live with forever." Unquote. She admitted to hiding Josias's body in the garage of the home, covering him with trash to cover the smell of decay, before hiding him in the duffel bag inside of her vehicle. Ultimately, Segal Hussein would be sentenced to 15 years imprisonment plus 10 years supervised probation upon release. A memorial service for Josias Marquez was held on April 25, 2020. He was then cremated, James flying to Wisconsin to obtain his ashes. Normally, this is the time in the story where I tell you what kind of child Josias was, what he loved, what made him smile, his most favourite things in his little world. At almost 6 years old, I should have a long list of these, but I don't. There was nothing that I could find to share who Josias was. And that is the true tragedy here. Josias isn't remembered for who he was and what mattered to him, just what his mother did to him. But Josias Marquez will not be forgotten. He will forever live on in the hearts of those who knew and loved him, and for those touched by his story. If you have your own thoughts and theories on the story we discussed today, or any stories we talk about here on Stolen Lives, please search Stolen Lives Podcast on Facebook, like the page so you don't miss an episode, and join the Stolen Lives discussion group to talk about your thoughts and theories. You can also talk to us on Instagram, Stolen Lives Podcast. If you like what you heard today, we would appreciate it if you share this episode on your social media of choice, and subscribe and leave a positive review on your podcast app. Today's episode was researched and written by me, Ali. Hosting and production was also by me, Ali. Music is by Mayu.